John chapter 10, let's read this passage from starting in verse 2. I'll read it for you, just follow along with me. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, key phrase there, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. Here comes another key phrase, and the sheep follow him. And for they know his voice. There's that again. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves, and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man will enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Well, let's keep reading. I guess we're supposed to read to verse 18. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And then we'll skip down and see verse 27, which is very key to this lesson as well. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. All right, let's pray. We'll get right into it. Lord, we thank you for our opportunity to gather this morning as a church family. We pray that you'll bless our time, make it profitable, give the lesson clarity as we present it. And Lord, help us to understand the relationship that you wish to have with us being the sheep and you our great shepherd, and the relationship that should exist between us. And may that be so today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, sheep have a certain and special relationship to their shepherd that is characterized by dependence. In fact, we're getting right into one of your statements here right away. There's a certain relationship or a special relationship with their shepherd that is characterized by dependence. That's on our part, on the part of the sheep. We are, whether you know this or not, and there's even amongst Christians, there are what we call self-made men or self-made women who think they got to where they are by their own efforts, etc. And I know there's lots of things we can do to better ourselves and increased knowledge, etc. But, you know, the bottom line is, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. It's only by Him and by His grace that we are able to accomplish things and to do the things that we can do and to be where we are in our certain stage of life. It's all by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we depend on Him just like literal sheep. And we see in our lesson here, literal sheep depend 100% on the shepherd for their well-being. And we saw this last week. It's the shepherd that leads them to green pastures and still waters. It's the shepherd that watches the flock, watches out for the wolves. And today even we saw about a hireling who's not a real shepherd. He's a fake. But the sheep they're characterized by dependence. If the shepherd doesn't care for them, they're in trouble. They'll be lunch for some wolf or some predator. On the other hand, there's also dependability, and that's on the part of the shepherd. Isn't it? We talked last week about the promises that the shepherd gives. thank God that there's promises there for and on behalf of the sheep, because they depend on the shepherd. They look to the shepherd. Where are you going to take us now? We've already mowed this lawn. We've already mowed this pasture. We took it down to the roots. And you need to take us now to greener pasture. And they may not know where that is. In fact, if they start wandering off from the fold like that, like we do, when we think we know what's best, shame on us. We begin to wander from the church body. We begin to stray away. We begin to think, well, I know better than the preacher, and I know better than God, and I know better than the Word. And we begin to get away from the path that God has set before us. You too, friend, will be lunch. Who did we talk about last week? The enemy that's always on duty 24/7, seeking whom he may devour. Who is that? Satan, the devil. Yeah, he's just watching for you, just like the wolf with real sheep. The wolf sits back in the bushes and waits for that one sheep to start to get away from the rest. And boom, he pounces on it. Lunch. And that's exactly what the devil has in mind for you. And it's so important that we stay close to the shepherd. We stay close to his word. We stay close to the flock. Amen? This is the flock. And we need to stay in the flock, not go wandering off, because we're going to get in trouble. And so, I got off a little off track there, but back to the point here. The sheep are depending on the shepherd to lead them where he knows is best place for them. Green pasture and cool water. That's what they need. And protection. They depend on that. It's life or death. They depend on him. On the other hand, the shepherd provides the dependability. And aren't you glad that our Lord Jesus Christ is so dependable? You ever think about that? You can depend on Him. Now, you might have a good friend in this world, and we all should have a good friend, but you know what? A good friend will let you down from time to time. They might not do it on purpose. It might not be intentional. They might not have premeditated to let you down, but just life happens, and sometimes we promise people things, but we fail in our promise. We let people down. But I want to tell you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ, our great shepherd, will never let us down. Hallelujah. We can depend on Him. And so that's a good way to start our lesson off here, to see that the characteristic, this relationship with the sheep that God, the shepherd, has, is one of dependability and dependence, as we see in the statement here. So last week we talked about some characteristics of the sheep. This week, as you can see, we're going to talk a little bit more about the relationship. Before we launch into the outline, this is very important to understand. Listen carefully. The sheep are important to the shepherd. The sheep are important to the shepherd. We read in our text here, there's the shepherd, but then there's the hireling. The hireling is the one, he's like, oh, I have to do this stupid job of watching these sheep, and he could care less. And he's supposed to be watching the sheep, and instead, he's taking selfies, and he's checking Facebook, and he's distracted, he's doing all these things, and the sheep are wandering off, like we said, and they're getting snatched by the wolves. And finally, he puts his phone down for a second. Ah, there is a wolf. What's he do? Instead of protecting the sheep, he runs. Leaves all the sheep to themselves. Well, that's a hireling. But a real shepherd, he loves his sheep. And of course, all of this is illustrative of the relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Jesus loves his sheep. Can everybody say, bah? Thank you. You are his sheep, and I am his sheep, and he loves us. And all God's people said, amen. We ought to be glad about that. My shepherd loves me. Well, there's a story in the Bible that, don't tell me I missed that verse. Let me see here. Yeah, I sure did. All right, hold your place. Let's go to this, because I want you to see Matthew 18. Now, we're coming back to John, so hold it there. Matthew 18. I thought I put it on the slides, but evidently I didn't, so let's just turn to it. Matthew 18, starting in verse 11. Jesus used this illustration to show just how important the sheep are to him, to show how important each individual person, are you listening to me? Each individual person, that's you. Don't ever think as a Christian that when the preacher's preaching, you say, oh, well, that sounds really good, but that's probably meant for him. That's probably meant for her. The preacher doesn't know me and my past and what I've done and on and on, blah, 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 blah. God doesn't feel that way towards me. You're wrong! You're wrong! Wrong answer. God does love you. Hello? God does love you. You need to get that down in your crawl. Understand, hey, God loves me with all my problems and all my difficulties and all my hang-ups. He loves me. So important. Matthew 18, verse 11. Let's look at that quickly here. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye, or why think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which has gone astray? Well, I'll finish reading before I say what I say. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so is it not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And so that's a great illustration that the Lord gave to say, look, if when one sheep strays away, that shepherd will go after that sheep. Because every single sheep is important to him. And likewise, folks, every single person in this room today, and yea, in the world today, is important to the Lord Jesus Christ. If they're not saved, he wants them to be saved. That passage started out saying, the Son of Man has come to seek and to what? Save that which was lost. And then for those that are in the fold, he loves every single one. So that's so important to understand that. And please don't say, well, you don't know what I've done, blah, blah, blah. Don't get me on that again, because God loves you. He died for you. And you can't convince me otherwise. Well, number one, concerning the relationship that the sheep have with the shepherd. So we're gonna examine the relationship. So keep that in mind. It's all about relationship. Not so much about characteristics, because we looked at that last week. But first of all, there needs to be a coming to the shepherd. Coming to the shepherd. You know, everywhere Jesus went, he drew large crowds of people. Sometimes Scripture uses these two words, great multitudes. It uses words like throngs. Everywhere he went, people came. Masses of people would come. They would come for healing. They would come when they needed spiritual guidance. They would come even on the behalf of others who needed help. How about the story about the guy who needed help? They tore apart the roof and lowered him down. The people came on behalf of others. Droves of people came. People came because they wanted to hear his teaching. Guess what? Jesus was approachable. That's what we see in Scripture. Jesus was approachable. And no one who ever came to Jesus with a sincere and willing heart was turned away. That's your next thing on your lesson there. No one who came to Jesus with a sincere and willing heart was turned away. His loving arms are always open. Back to that illustration in Matthew 18. When the sheep strayed off, even if it turned tail and came back, the shepherd's not going to say, up, time out, you got outside the fold, so that's it, you're out of here. the shepherd's like, oh, you know, welcome back. Scoop up that sheep and bring it back into the fold, because he loves every single sheep. He doesn't turn them away. Well, first of all, when we come to the shepherd, obviously we need to come for salvation. Now, I would assume that most in this room today, probably I shouldn't assume, but I'm tending to assume that most in this room this morning have already experienced what we call salvation. It's a time when we come to the shepherd, we come understanding that we're sinners and sin has to be punished, but Jesus took the punishment for us, and when we place our faith and our trust in Him and what He's done for us, we can be what we call saved or salvation. That's salvation. So we come to the shepherd for salvation, but get this point here. Even as Christians, I hear people who claim to be Christians wrestle with this. The greatest need every person faces is the need for salvation, but here's the part that even Christians sometimes can get messed up. And this salvation can only be found in Jesus Christ. Period. Period. End of story. Right? You know, even people who claim to be Christians start getting wishy-washy in that, and they say, well, what if God did make some other ways? Or maybe there is something to other religions, and they start talking like that. That's dangerous. Not only is it dangerous to think like that, but it's a slap in the face of God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ, because God sent His Son to die for the very express reason and purpose to save us from our sins, and then we're standing here, well, maybe there's another way. What a slap, what a spit in the face of our Savior. Now, He is the reason He came was to save the world. He didn't come to save those who would be Christians, and then Muhammad came to save those who would then be followers of him, and Buddha came to save those who he knew would follow him, etc. No, no. The Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of the entire world, period. And He is the only way to heaven. That's so important. Look at we're back in John 10 now. I hope you flip back there. But look at verse 7 and 9. Let's look at those together. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. Right? In verse 9, I am the door. And there's only one door. There's not several. Now, in this auditorium this morning, we have several ways to get out of here. If there's a fire or whatever, we could escape one of those two doors. We could go out the back, and there's one over here. Lots of ways to come or to get out of this auditorium or in. But getting to heaven, there's only one door. There's only one way. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is illustrated for us through the example of, in the story, the real story of Noah and the ark. In Noah's ark, God told him to build how many doors? It was one door. And that was the only way in. And when they got in, God closed the door. And that is picturesque of salvation. That just picturing for us that there's only one way. You're in John. Again, hold your place in chapter 10, but just go over a couple pages to chapter 14. And this will be a very familiar passage to you, but it warrants looking at, considering the topic we're covering here. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I may have put that on the slide here. Yeah, I did. Here we go. I underlined some important words there. You can look up on the screen here. The way, that means the one and only way. The truth means the one and only truth. And the life, the one and only life. That's what's implied in the language there. Then he says, no man, not a single person, nobody, no exceptions, no man can come to the Father, and pardon me for paraphrasing here, but I'll say it this way, no man come to the Father unless he goes through me. I am the door to the Father. I am the doorway to heaven. I'm the doorway to the Father in heaven. Right? And it's clear. It's clear as can be. It's just, you can't argue that. I think I put another one down for you. Yeah, Acts. I love this one. This is a great verse. Neither is there salvation in any other person, any other name. For there is none other name, which is the name of who? Jesus. Under heaven, given amongst men, or among men, whereby we must be saved. So, is that clear for you? The name is Jesus. Let's say it all together. Ready? Jesus. That's the way to heaven. He's the only way. He's the door for the shepherd. Amen. Well, let's move on. We need also come to the shepherd for strength. Strength. Just as the sheep are dependent upon the shepherd for everything, so are we dependent upon Christ. And the Lord gives us another analogy. Oh, sorry, that's your statement there. You know what? I didn't mark my statement, so I'm tempted to go right by him. As sheep are dependent upon the shepherd for everything, so are we dependent upon Christ. Look at this verse. And you might just jot these references on your notes there, because I didn't put them in your lesson. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For, this is talking about dependence, without me, you can do nothing. And so we are totally dependent upon the Lord, and as it should be, and that's the way he wants it to be. Matthew 11, the Lord invites us to come to him for strength and or rest. He says, come unto me, all you that labor are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So we're invited by the Lord. His own lips invites us to come to him to get rest and or strength for our journey. Number two, so not only we have a coming to the shepherd, but now there is a following the shepherd. We talked about that a little bit last week in the characteristic part of the lesson, but maybe we'll hit it from a little different angle today. Once we come to the shepherd, folks, guess what? We need to follow him. That's the next obvious thing. We don't come to the shepherd and say, okay, shepherd, here I am. I'm in the fold now. But I'm not interested in following you. You take the rest of the sheep over there. I'm going to do this over here. I'm going to take my rock and roll guitar and go over here and jam a little bit while you guys over there singing the hymns. I'm gonna go over here and drink a little beer while you guys are over there drinking your water, cool water. And I'm gonna do my thing, you guys do your thing. Shepherd, oh, where are you going now? Oh, you're gonna lead them. Okay, well, you guys go on, I'll just hang out here for a while. No, we need to follow the shepherd. Didn't we determine last week that the shepherd knows what's best for us? I know we think we know what's best, we don't. We see the little picture, he sees the big picture. He sees the big picture. He knows what's coming down the pike. He knows what's ahead. He knows what lies ahead. He knows what dangers are there. He knows what pitfalls are there. He knows what snares are there. He knows what wolves are lurking in the darkness. And he's able to warn us and protect us of those things and lead us in the right way. Guess what? We need to follow. I always get in trouble when I stop following this shepherd. Whenever I think I've got it figured out, I always goof it up. You might relate to that. So once we come to the shepherd, we need to follow him. With the heart of a true shepherd, this is good. God delights in guiding us through life. With the heart of a true shepherd, God delights in guiding us through life. Jot this little reference down. Psalm 78. But made his own people to go forth like sheep. And guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Boy, this world is a wilderness, isn't it? It's getting crazier every day. We're tearing down statues. I think we're going to have another civil war here or something soon. It's like crazy. And even taking down statues that have nothing to do with anything. Catholic Church took the Mary and Jesus statue down. They're so worried. Someplace I read. It's like, wow, we're crazy. So it is a wilderness, but the Lord guides us through the wilderness. If we'll just follow, that's all we got to do is follow. Well, in following, we must hear his voice. A sheep is drawn to the shepherd's voice. I don't know what it is, but I've seen cows do this too. I've seen farmers go out and just make a certain sound with their mouth or just call out a certain word, or they do it with pigs too, I guess. Suey, suey, suey. They scream out that somehow a certain way. I'm not a pig farmer. I'm not a farmer at all, for that matter, But there's this relationship between the critter and the master, the owner. And it is so it is with sheep. They recognize the voice of their shepherd. And our text here said, we won't go back and look at it, but you'll remember, they said the voice of a stranger, they don't recognize, they don't hear that, they don't listen to it. But they know their shepherd's voice. Amen? And God wants to speak to you, and He does try to speak to you, and He does speak to you. And we need to be listening for His voice and recognizing His voice. Sheep have the ability to recognize the shepherd's voice, which provides access, by the way, to the shepherd's guidance. According to our text here that we read a moment ago, it is revealed that sheep can distinguish its shepherd's voice from that of a stranger, as we mentioned. Now, I think you understand this, but in the world today, there are many voices shouting out for your attention. Clamoring for your attention. They want, hey, come over here, hey. And it's all the things that aren't part of the Christian life. We mentioned a moment ago, maybe it would be drinking or the wrong music or going to the wrong places or things that aren't conducive to good Christian behavior. Voices crying out for your attention and trying to get you to come. And we need to be careful to listen for the Lord's voice. So many voices consistently. There's a good word. We could say that statement without the word consistently, but I think it fits. Because it's ongoing. It's constant. It's constant barrage. Through the media, through billboards, magazines, printed literature, everything trying to get your attention and to lead you astray. But hearing God's voice begins with a willing heart. Just as the shepherd does not put the sheep on a leash and lead them, can you imagine? The shepherd put a leash on each sheep and tried to pull them along. No. Our shepherd has allowed us a choice. God doesn't put a leash on us and, whoa, and pull us where He needs us to be. No. He leaves us to a choice and we must choose to follow. We must choose to follow. Are you willing to follow where He leads? But we must listen carefully for the voice, for He will not shout. He will not shout at us. Letter B, obey His commands. Hold your place in John there. Let's go back quickly to 1 Kings. Sorry, 1 Kings 19. I was going to skip over, but I think I want you to see it. Because this talks, we're going to go back just briefly about hearing His voice. I said He will not shout. Let's look at this passage. I think it would be important to see it. 1 Kings 19, verse 11. And He said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, what's the next phrase? A still, small voice. That was God. So, what I said a moment ago, God's not going to shout at you. He speaks right here. By the way, you never hear it audible. He speaks to you here. And you have to have a willing, quiet heart. And as long as you're jamming to the tunes, you're not going to hear God's voice. And as long as you're caught up into the junk of the world, you're listening to all these voices coming at you. You can't hear God's voice. You have to get alone and get quiet and listen for God's voice. And guess what? You will hear it. Through His Word, be still and listen for that still, small voice. Amen. Okay, now let's go on. So now we need to obey His commands. We've got to pick up the pace a little bit. John tells us this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, with Jesus, but we walk in darkness, get this. This is what I was just illustrating here when I was sitting down. We say we're saved and we say we're in the fold, yet we're off straying off. Well, that's what this is. We say we're with the Lord, but we're walking in darkness. Interesting. Well, when that's the case, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, we're walking with the shepherd, we're in the fold close to him. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we must be in a place of obedience, obeying the Lord. We said this last week, obedience to the shepherd's commands may be a matter of life or death for the sheep. Remember I illustrated with children? I said we train our children to listen and obey instantly, because what if they're chasing their red ball out into the street and we have to yell, stop! They better stop. Like now. Not in a couple seconds, because the car is going to hit them. They have to stop immediately. And that's complete obedience, by the way. And so the Lord wants us to have that type of obedience. The shepherd can see the dangers that the sheep cannot see, and he guides them in the right direction. That's why we must follow the Lord. That's why we must obey him. He sees what we can't see. And so he knows the right direction. And so we have these verses here. Let's go on. James tells us the folly for hearing the commands but not doing anything with it. He says, be ye doers of the word. See the word doers. Be doers of the word, not just hearers. Because you deceive yourselves when you do that. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's our Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So there's blessing that comes with the obedience. And James tells us it's utter foolishness to hear the word but not do it. And so we need to be doers. Well, let's hasten on. Ooh, I got 3 minutes. Did I give you this statement yet? It is not enough just to know what the Bible says. We need to be changed by its truths. Last week I said God is the change agent. The Holy Spirit is the change agent, and so we can be changed. I gave my testimony last week. I was changed. Not everybody changes like that, but mine was instant. Some have a little more gradual growth, and that's understandable. I don't know why I was the way I was, but when I got saved, boom, I gave up the rock music, boom, I gave up the marijuana, boom, I gave up the pills, boom, I gave up the rock music, boom, I gave it up, oh, just instantly. And I thank the Lord for that. That was His grace. I don't know if I could do it on my own, but praise the Lord. Loving the shepherd. So we come to the shepherd, we follow the shepherd, we love the shepherd. This is an interesting, this captured my attention, this statement right here. Behind each of God's commands is a love that we cannot even begin to comprehend. I apologize, I'm probably going to take you over a minute or two. But I want to talk about this for a second. You know, it's so easy for Christians to look at the Bible and say all it is a bunch of rules. Do this, don't do that. Well, there is a lot of do this and don't do that in there, but that's because the shepherd knows what's best, first of all. But listen, behind every command, the same with my son and my children, if I give them a command, guess what? Behind that command, it's not because I'm trying to make their life difficult or trying to stop them from having fun, or to interrupt whatever it is, I say don't do that or do this because behind that instruction, there is a love that child can't even comprehend because they're too immature to understand it. That's how we are. Everything that God tells us in Scripture, behind it is a heart of love that we can't even begin to understand, comprehend. You get what I'm saying? Heart of love. It's the love that died for you. I wish you could see your faces like I see your faces right now. I think some of us are just kind of going, whoa. And rightly so. We don't understand God's love. It is so deep and so unconditional, that we just don't grasp it. And even when we think we are getting it, we're not getting it. Crickets. You want to play the crickets again? No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Can I get at least a little amen right there? Am I right? We don't understand it. It is mind-boggling how much God loves us. And so the next time you read that command in the Bible, whatever it is, it might be one that just bugs you. I like how preacher says he'll be preaching and, you know, preaching on maybe soul winning, and someone says, all you preach on is tithing. And he didn't even mention it that day. That's because God is the one. Well, there's some command that you fight with in the scripture. But next time you come to that command in your reading, you just say, Lord, I need to stop being upset when I read that command. I don't know if I fully understand it, but I need to understand this, that you're telling me that out of a heart of love that I don't even comprehend. Help me to understand your love. Amen. So that's a great statement. Let's try to hurry on here. Sorry about that. God created us to respond to His love. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Simple. Lawyer came to Jesus and asked, what was the greatest commandment? You know this passage. He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. We love Him by obeying. We tell our kids this too. Hey, you show mom and dad love by listening to what we say. I'm not going to go out our doors in a parking lot and all of a sudden there's God standing there and run over and give Him a big bear hug. Oh God, I love you, I love you. That's never going to happen. I can't see Him eyeball to eyeball and say, God, I love you. Even though I do say, God, I love you, but I don't see Him. But I can show Him my love. You know, sometimes I'm thinking God says, don't just tell me you love me, show me you love me. We say that to our kids too sometimes. Don't just say it, show me. Show me by doing what I say. Show me by listening. Show me by obeying. It's no different for us and God. We show God our love to Him just simply by doing what He says. That's one way I prove my love to Him. And so we love Him by obeying. This is a pretty powerful statement too. Our obedience to God is evidence of our love for God, but not only that, even our very salvation. Now in 1 John, we won't have time to go here, this is a whole different Bible study, but there's about 5 evidences in 1 John of your salvation. I skipped one, did I? Well, maybe that's coming, let's see. Okay, our motive for obedience must be love. Thank you. We're coming up to the end here. Sorry, I'm keeping you. Oh, I'm really late. Okay, B, we love Him by loving others. Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God, but the second greatest is to love others. Loving God and loving others cannot be separated. We show our love for God by loving others. So how do we love God? We show it by obedience, and then we also love others. That God knows we love Him then.